Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we're finally at the weekend, Friday afternoon. I know Sue Thomas is excited about that, right? It's going to be hot, but that's all right. Fred is in the studio. Ethan working hard here behind the scenes. We're going to do Sue's news in just a couple of minutes as we take you into the weekend. And then Paul Hall will have his thoughts on the Odyssey. You know, Paul mentioned, and I have a sister in New York City. Fred has a son in New York City. I mean, this smoke stuff, Sue, is just crazy right now. In Detroit, they're like, don't do anything outdoors. They canceled all outdoor activities. It's nuts.
And they canceled the Cleveland Guardians game.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, I have a friend in Wisconsin on vacation, and she said they sit outside and all they see is smoke. You can see a few trees. But that thing goes far.
Well, that's where Paul Hall is. He's up in Milwaukee. And if you remember, I think it was last year, we had haze from those, you know, wildfires down this far. I guess the wind currents are taking it elsewhere. But we'll have Brian Kilmeade on in the next hour, and he's right there in New York City, too. So it is kind of crazy. Look, we have a great music festival that I always like to highlight. Chris Hansen is here, executive director of the Kranzberg Arts Foundation. Music at the Intersection is kind of already underway. Hello. How are you this afternoon? Chris, thanks for coming on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, Mark. Yeah, we're having a great time. We kicked it off with John Batiste at the Fox Theater last night. We've had our conference going on all day long, and our block party and our Maddie main stages kick off here in about an hour. So great time to get down to the Grand Center Arts District in Midtown, right off the steps of the Fox Theater. We got the venues down here live from Jazz St. Louis, the Fox, the Sovereign, Sophie's Artist Lounge, and the Big Top are all main stages, but they're got to buy a pass. But there's a free block party in the middle of all of it, so you can come down and shop and eat and roller skate. We got the best of the best from around the world and all of our St. Louis giants. So it's a great time to be in St. Louis.
So you can get like a weekend pass, but you can also do it day by day, can't you, Chris?
There's single day passes or weekend passes. And if you just want to come down and check it out before you make a decision, the block party is accessible. You go through security and come on down and get a feel for it. Then go take advantage of all the great indoor venues.
How was John Batiste?
Indoor restrooms. It's comfortable. It's going to be a beautiful night.
How was John Batiste last night? That guy is incredible.
Just incredible, yeah. Really brought the house down. Full house at the Fox. You know, St. Louis really showed a lot of love for that show.
Wyclef Jean is one of the headliners. You want to highlight anyone else who's coming in this weekend for this?
Yeah, we got Wyclef Jean and PJ Morton. We got our resident artist, resident Keon Harold, featuring on Today that night. We got the legendary Zap Band tonight. We've got Keon Harold. We've got Killer Mike playing. We got Big Frida playing. There's great jazz from UB Garcia, Brian Blade, the Fellowship Band over at Jazz St. Louis. I mean, there's just something for everybody. If you love jazz and soul and funk and R&B and, you know, just love to have a good time, you won't miss on this one.
All right, give the website out if people want to check out the schedule.
Yeah, matistl.org, matistl.org. Or you can go to MetroTix for passes, but you can check out all the activities and events and activations at mattiestl.org.
Chris, have fun with the festival. Good luck with everything. I think the weather's going to cooperate for the most part, so have fun this weekend. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Yeah, take care. That's always a great annual event. There's something else that's pretty big tomorrow with the Archdiocese, Fred, you were telling me.
Yeah, there's a couple really big things going on this weekend. First, this Saturday morning, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., is the 200th anniversary for the St. Louis Archdiocese. So there's a big bicentennial mass at the Cathedral Basilica in the Central West End. Archbishop Rozanski will be there, and also the Vatican's representative, the Papal Nuncio to the United States, will be in town for that. Cardinal Dolan is in town for that as well. He'll be doing the homily at that service tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. And the reception will follow over at Rosada Cain. And then the next day, Sunday, is the 50th anniversary celebration for Cardinal Dolan as a priest. So he's going back to his home parish, Holy Infant Parish in Baldwin, to celebrate a noon mass there to mark that big occasion. and a reception will follow that as well. So two really big anniversaries.
Yeah, I would say I love Cardinal Dolan too. I know you have a good relationship with him, but he's always so impressive. So that's important stuff here this weekend. Just a little breaking news here. You know, we didn't talk about a whole lot yesterday, but it's a real story. And even Jeff Smith in the last hour looked at the Kalshi markets. Last week when we were watching the All-Star Game, Sue, Fred and I, there were weird commercials on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
And they were, a lot of them were for the betting markets, Poly Market and, you know, and Kalshi. I bring it up because you had literally the guy who was operating the teleprompter for President Trump get caught in this because he was placing bets, they found out, on things that were in Trump's speech. And he had a preview of that. So piggybacking off of that, and, you know, when we're talking about this stuff, I think we know it's the tip of the iceberg. Adam Schefter is reporting that the NFL has confirmed the indefinite suspension of the Arizona Cardinals personnel executive Ryan Gold for violating the league's gambling policy. The NFL confirmed today, this is the statement, that Ryan Gold, director of college scouting for the Arizona Cardinals, has been suspended indefinitely for violating the NFL's gambling policy. The suspension is effective immediately. The gambling policy, which is annually reviewed with all NFL personnel, strictly prohibits anyone in the NFL from participating in or facilitating any form of sports gambling and from providing third parties non-public information. So he's in big trouble. And they closed the statement by saying Mr. Gold has the right to appeal. But you know this stuff is happening out there, and it's just a matter if they can catch him. And the good news is they do have things in place, I would say, that are triggers that are alerting the leagues and the different folks that should be alerted to this.
Yeah, it's just the tip of the iceberg, too.
You have to think, right?
Hey, speaking of iceberg, Taco Bell this weekend?
I'm having it tonight. What's the final on that? Because for the last few days, they weren't exactly sure, but now they pretty much say...
The CDC and the FDA are linking it to a delivery of lettuce from a Mexican supplier, I believe, in several of the states where people are getting sick.
You know, this is an interesting story. So I just Googled this, and in Forbes, they actually are reporting that Taco Bell warned investors about... Can you pronounce this, Fred? How do you say it?
Cyclospora.
Okay.
It's cyclosporiasis.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Apparently, they warned people about that, and other chains did too, because they knew something like that was a threat out there, which is kind of weird to me that that's something that happened. But yeah, lettuce at Taco Bell in five states have been confirmed as the source of this. It's kind of gross. It's a diarrhea-causing parasite, and people have really been hit with this. So yeah, I think that's going to hurt a little Taco Bell this weekend, isn't it, Sue?
Yes.
I would say. Taylor Farms is the place where this apparently came from in Salinas, California. They are not responding to requests for comments right now. But that's, you know, here's the thing. That's the same company that was tied to something like this that happened exactly along these lines in 2013. And then in 2024, there was an E. coli outbreak tied to onions served at McDonald's. I don't really remember that one. You guys remember that one?
No.
So the FDA says it's working with a supplier of iceberg lettuce to determine if potentially contaminated shredded iceberg lettuce remains on the market, including in other states. So Taco Bell, for their part, had voluntarily and temporarily removed certain ingredients from some locations because of the outbreak. That's just not a very comfortable thing when you're thinking you get that just eating a taco at Taco Bell. We got Sue's News on a Friday coming up.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
I chose not to go see the screening, the critics screening of The Odyssey the other night. I'm glad I did because I watched the Home Run Derby, but there's a lot of buzz about this movie, and I'm hearing positive things from people I trust. Paul Hall is someone I trust, so he's going to join us here in a few minutes. But I am interested in it. Sue, do you think you'll take time to go see it in the theater?
I've thought about this, and I'm sure it will look much better in the theater, but it doesn't intrigue me enough to do that. So I think I'll wait for it to stream.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, but I really do want to see it in 70 millimeter. Fred, are you interested?
I would like to.
Okay, you want me to see it? All right. Yeah. I might look for like an early morning screening and try to, you know, do that.
That's nice. Yes.
But we'll keep you posted. But there's other stuff as we go into the weekend. Look, the new Will Ferrell show that started on Netflix looks rather appealing to me. He plays a professional golfer. We'll talk about that and a couple other things with Paul. We'll have Cusimano toward the end of the hour. And then we're focusing here this week and next week on the St. Charles County executive race. It's going to be a good one between Jason Law, who joined us a couple of days ago. Bill Eigel will be here in less than an hour at 5 o'clock. And also Steve Ellman, who is the incumbent, will be here next week. On a Friday, we got to do this here. Oh, I screwed up. I didn't have the right button there. We'll take two on that.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Mark, I have a last-minute entry of insect news, if you will prepare that
for later. Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready whenever you are for that.
All right.
Okay. Good to know, though.
On this day in history, 52 years ago, it was 1974, and Bob Gibson got his 3,000th career strikeout. And one of the Reds was the victim. Fred, can you name who he struck out for this 3,000th career strikeout?
Dave Concepcion.
Cesar Geronimo.
Geronimo. Well, it was a good guess, though, for the Cincinnati Reds in that era.
So, I still give you credit, because here's what I heard in my head. Nothing.
And then, well, how about Johnny Bench would have been
Johnny
one, right?
Bench, that would have been cool. 17 years ago, it's been 17 years. It seems like longer than that to me. But it was 2009 when legendary CBS anchorman Walter Cronkite passed away. And he was 92. I just can't believe. Doesn't that seem longer to you?
Yeah, it does.
I don't know why. And then 11 years ago today, in 2015, Ant-Man was released, starring Paul Rudd. And I think I actually saw that, but I waited for the TV. Fred, have you
seen it? I liked it.
Yeah,
I thought it was
too.
Good. I like Paul Rudd. It was, you know. It was a good little comic book movie.
I saw it, you know, when it was available, but not in the theater.
I don't think I saw the sequel.
Oh.
I think there was a sequel.
I did not see the sequel.
Right.
Yeah.
But how long ago was that?
11 years.
Okay, that's a long time ago.
I know.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know where time goes. Okay. Happy National Peach Ice Cream Day. Ooh, that sounds good to me. When I ate the sugars, I would make it. Make a peach ice cream. Oh, it's so good. And you put in a little bit of cinnamon in there.
Oh, love it.
God. It's also National Wrong Way Corrigan Day. Okay, did you know this story?
I know Wrong Way Feldman, and so does Fred from
Gilligan's Island.
I don't know Wrong Way Corrigan. I just know
Wrong Way Feldman.
Wrong Way Feldman was the guy, like, he was a pilot, wasn't he, Fred?
Right.
That landed on the island?
And okay, he thought he was in another part of the world because he was flying in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Okay, they must have based that on this.
I'm sure.
Okay. Wrong Way Corrigan, it was 1938, and this guy, Douglas Corrigan, he's a young man. He's this huge fan of Charles Lindbergh. So he flies from California to New York, and he says, you know what, I'd like permission to duplicate Lindbergh's transatlantic flight. And officials said, no, your plane is from 1929, and it's way too old. And he's like, oh, crap, well, I'm disappointed. I'll just fly back to California. Well, it's cloudy that day. He only has a magnetic compass, so he starts his trip, and when the clouds clear, he realizes he's over the ocean. 28 hours later, he landed in Ireland.
Oh, my.
And apparently there's a debate on whether he did it on purpose, but he did not pass away until 1995, and he claimed all the way through there that it was an accident, and that's how he earned the nickname Wrong Way Corrigan. So I'm sure that's how they got it at
Gilligan's
Island.
Yeah,
I think so.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny. All right, United Airlines, tell me what you think of this, is nixing some middle seats on certain new planes and replacing them with a table. Now, this table can be shared by the people in the window in the aisle seats. They're just going to put it in the middle instead of the middle seat. And the table has, I like how they describe it, a soft leather-like covering. Not leather, but leather-ish. And two cup indentations. So, of course, the armrests are still there, but now you don't have to fight over it, I suppose. And there's also the extra space where the middle passenger's feet wouldn't go, so you get a little bit of that room. Now,
well, I like it because, look, I have, you know, like I watch movies or whatever on my iPad, and then when the meal comes, you can't, like, you know, where do you put your drink? So if you have that little table there, that might be convenient. But isn't that kind of taking seats away showing you that they don't have as much demand for the travel?
Well, they say this is going to be a limited thing as far as rows go. They're only going to do it in one row on certain new planes.
All right, well. Yeah.
And, of course, you have to pay more.
Of course you would.
And would you pay more to sit with a table in the middle seat in one row?
I don't think so. No.
No.
I don't think so. I just don't understand. I know they try these things, but if it's only one row, and how much are you going to charge for that? I don't know. I just think it's complete insanity.
We'll see if that one takes off in a way because that sounds a little weird to me, too.
Maybe if you're flying on someone else's dollar. You know,
yeah.
Like
when does that happen?
Yeah.
Not to us. We're radio people.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The World Cup final, Spain versus Argentina, is set for Sunday. Mark, how was the game last night?
It was good last night. They ended up winning. They looked bad for a while when Sporting KC scored the second goal. Fred, you were watching it, right?
Oh, I was. Yeah.
So they got City got a PK. We call that a PK.
Can you speak English? Okay, gotcha.
And then they won. They won. So it was good.
Did you eat the good food over there?
I had an $8 hot dog. But I didn't have Steve's hot dogs. Steve's hot dogs were all the way across the other side, and I didn't make it all the way over there. So.
And it took a while to get it, didn't it?
Yeah, I was in line for a while. See, as we've established, I'm an elitist, and I do not like... I like all-inclusive.
Oh, boy.
I love the way they do the soda, because they give you your cups, and then you can refill it on your own. Put your ice in there and your soda, even though it's
now
Diet Pepsi.
Cool.
No, I love that.
Yeah,
How was the crowd?
It was a good crowd. Yeah, it was a really good crowd.
Good.
I just wish I understood the game a little bit better. I mean, even after watching all the World Cup and everything, it's still not something.
Well, you're throwing out PKs like you know what you're talking about.
I know what that was.
So that's got to count for something. All right, let's see. It's Sunday is Spain versus Argentina. It's at MetLife Stadium in beautiful New Jersey. Should be at about 2 o'clock our time. Although I suppose there is going to be kind of a closing ceremony, and that will begin at 12:30 with our own Post Malone performing.
And Trump's going, too.
Is he? He's supposed to award the trophy.
I think so.
Oh, that's kind of cool. 48 teams, of course, were involved in this year's World Cup. Wow. If Argentina wins, they will be the first team to do it back-to-back since Brazil did it in what year? Guess, Fred Bottomer.
I'll say 2010.
Mark Reardon.
$1, Sue. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different game. I have no idea.
1962.
Oh, wow.
That's a long time ago.
So that would be
kind of favor Spain a little bit just with the history.
Exactly. I think that'd be kind of cool. All right. An electronics repair shop.
Oops. Hit the wrong song again.
That's right.
I'm having a rough day on the board, Sue. Sorry about that.
We all have them. They say that it's seeing a surge of phones and tablets with moisture damage because people are trying to beat the heat by putting their phone in refrigerators and freezers. People, this is not the answer. It sounds like a clever life hack, they say, except it could destroy your phone because the sudden temperature change creates condensation, which could lead to corrosion and a broken phone. So instead, Apple and Samsung recommend if your phone gets too hot, just take it out of direct sunlight, shut down all your apps, remove the case if you have one, and then just take it inside and let it cool naturally. All right, let's do some insect news.
Oh, can we do insect news on a Friday? We can, of course.
It's time for insect news.
Okay, you guys, this showed up as a random fact, and I thought, I gotta have an intro for it. Okay. There is a wingless wasp. First of all, did you know that existed?
No.
No.
Okay. There is a wingless wasp native to Chile, known as the panda ant. It looks kind of cute. It's got a black and white pattern, but it is not an ant. It is not a panda. It is a wasp. And it has a terrible, painful, defensive sting. So if you are ever in Chile, do not go near the panda wasp.
But it doesn't fly.
No, I don't know. What is it? Crawl up and sting you? I don't understand any of it.
You have to be able to outwalk it.
Yeah.
To get away.
Did you guys see the video of the raccoon that went viral today?
No.
So it's a weird, I don't think I retweeted, but there's this video of a raccoon running around someone's yard, and it looks like it's a weird looking raccoon because what they think it's happening is it's got a spine condition.
Oh.
So his spine is curved, but when you see it kind of hopping across the lawn on the Ring camera or however they caught it, it just looks like a completely different animal. Like if you didn't know it was a raccoon with back problems, you'd be like, what kind of alien creature is this? Because it just looks so different in the deformity. Ugh. Anyway, you might see that out there.
Ugh. Mark Hamill's lightsaber from The Empire Strikes Back just sold for $3.7 million at an auction.
You know, but there's a lot of stuff that sells for things. I'm like, why would you want that? That's at least something that is so iconic that I can see someone paying for that if you've got stupid money, right?
Well, you're right. It set a new record for a screen-used Star Wars prop, and you know how the people love Star Wars. Okay, this is the lightsaber that Mark Hamill used in The Empire Strikes Back during the Luke face-off with Darth Vader. You know, when Vader cuts his hand off and says, Luke, I'm your father.
Thanks for spoiling it for half the audience out there, Sue.
Well, it's a spoiler, all right. Now, the lightsaber hilt was sold with a fake hand that severs at the wrist.
Oh, I like that.
That's pretty funny. And it was designed after Mark's own hand.
Hmm.
By the way, the previous record for a Star Wars prop was held by Darth Vader's lightsaber. That one sold for $3.65 million. And that happened last September. All right, and in science news, scientists are exploring whether human hibernation could work, and they think making space travel missions to Mars would be the use of it. So they think that by slowing metabolism, it could reduce astronauts' need for food and water. So they're now studying animals that hibernate and see if they could do it for people.
Of course we can do it for people. I've seen Project Hail Mary, okay? It happened to Ryan Gosling.
No, it didn't.
It did not.
What?
Random fact.
James Bond was almost named James Secretan. That's it.
That would have been terrible, right?
Yes.
We're coming back with Paul Hall.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's time to talk entertainment and movies with our friend Paul Hall from Common Guy Films, but I think we have to first get a report, Sue, on the breathing conditions, because he's up in Milwaukee and you're affected up there by the smoke from the wildfires, right, Paul?
Yeah, the last 2 days, Mark, it has been brutal to go outside. All you smell is smoke. The conditions were hazy at best, totally covered at worst. But thankfully, the winds changed this afternoon, and the air quality's back in a decent space. And in fact, I just was paying attention to the Brewers, and I guess they are going to play tonight against Miami here in town, that they were questioning that even. So,
well, Cleveland canceled their game. I mean, I mentioned this earlier. We've had, Sue, you know, a little bit of haze from these wildfires in the past. But, I mean, this, when you're seeing Fred's son is in New York City, my sister's there, some of the pictures, we're going to talk to Brian Kilmeade in the next hour, too. It's crazy. I mean, your clothes has to smell like smoke, doesn't it?
Yeah, you stepped outside, and my wife and my daughter both are asthma folks, and to step outside was even just painful. It's one of those times where, you know, COVID made us aware of the N95 masks. They came into play. There were people out in masks yesterday like they were in China or wherever.
Interesting. All right, let's talk movies here. Big, big opening, The Odyssey.
Tell me what you remember.
A wife. A son.
And then what?
We won the war.
Help me go home.
This is a household waiting for master.
I want you to choose me.
Ithaca's king is coming back.
No, he's not.
No one could stand between me and home.
So I'm hearing mostly positive things from people I know who have seen it. Have you seen it? What did you think?
I have seen it. In fact, I made the trip out yesterday to see it during the smoke, and I felt like I was stepping right inside the theater into that haze of the Odyssey and that Greek mythology on screen. I'll tell you what, Mark, the only downfall to this movie is that it's 3 hours long.
Right.
And when you're talking about the movie and credits, you're talking about a three-hour and 20-minute commitment to what goes on. That said, I didn't budge for over 3 hours. I didn't want to move. Oh. This film and the way Christopher Nolan does it mesmerizes you on the screen. I couldn't imagine seeing this on a small screen. It's kind of like Oppenheimer was, in that you definitely want to get out to the theater and the biggest screen in the theater. Don't go to the little 60-seater that has tickets available. Get those tickets in the bigger screen. You will thank me later, because visually this is a stunning, stunning film.
Well, the numbers are pretty crazy right now, because the audience number on Rotten Tomatoes is 97%. The critics at 95%. You don't always see that kind of match up. Sometimes there's a little divergence. Like, for example, on Moana, 89% of the people liked it, 31% of the critics. But I missed it, Paul, because I watched Jordan Walker win the Home Run Derby the other night. I had, you know, the invite for the screening, but I do feel like I have to see it on the IMAX, and you can do that here in St. Louis at Ronnie. So I'm glad that you liked it. I've heard a couple of people say it does get a little boring, though, in the middle of it. So, look, it's a long movie. You're always going to have
that issue.
Okay.
Yeah, I never had that issue, and that's something to be said, though. The fact is, there's so many talented people involved in the smallest roles in this film that you can't help but acknowledge the fact that Nolan's appeal and the appeal of everything around this tale, classic tale of Greek mythology, is something that brought these people together to produce this work. I think we'll be talking about it at awards time.
Anything else that's in the theaters, is that pretty much dominating this week?
You know, here's the crazy thing. There's nothing else really big opening this week. And Mark, I'm going to look ahead a week. There's nothing major studio-wise released at all next Friday, which doesn't happen in the middle of the summer. You can tell they kind of cleared out to let the Odyssey have its way for the next couple weeks, because it's going to be in those large formats until Spider-Man hits at the end of the month. So the theaters are a little, you know, bleak as far as what's out there. But that just gives you time to go to Apple TV Plus, because my new obsession is here, and people get a chance to watch the first two episodes with Anya Taylor-Joy, Lucky. And they'll tell you what, this is something for you fans of action, intrigue, espionage, or not espionage, but action, intrigue, crime drama stuff. You are going to love this. I'm glad I can finally talk about it. I've seen parts of it for a long time. And Taylor-Joy is wonderful. This is a great story. You're going to get a new episode every Wednesday, I believe it is, starting next week. You get the first two episodes over on Apple TV Plus now. Take your time. Get into it. You will thank me later.
All right. So what's the base? By the way, Anya Taylor-Joy was great in the show The Queen's Gambit from, you know, several years ago.
Sure.
So she was awesome in that. But what's the premise of this one?
So here's the deal. She is in the beginning of the film, or the beginning of this series, you find out that she and her boyfriend have a lot of money, that all of a sudden they went out, had a good time. Boyfriend isn't necessarily a boyfriend for more than the first 15 minutes of the movie, because the two of them split up, and now she's got both the FBI, the mob, and somebody else on her trail to try and find her and the money. Boyfriend's nowhere to be found. She gets chased in the desert, and the scenes in the desert always give you some interesting scenarios to deal with. Great supporting cast here, from Clifton Collins, who's one of the bad guys chasing her, to Timothy Oliphant, who happens to be related to Lucky, and even Annette Bening, which I haven't seen, who I haven't seen in quite a while. She shows up here as well, among others. So it's a matter of, can they catch her, and who's going to get her first, and is she going to live to see the next day?
So I want to start that. I think Becky and I might start that tonight, but I also want to start the Will Ferrell show, which just premiered yesterday, and I think all the episodes are out on Netflix, right?
Yes. Yeah, The Hawk is out in its entirety on Netflix. You know, it's inevitable that this is going to draw comparison right away to Stick on Apple TV+. It's golf. It's all about golf. It's all about kind of a washed up golfer trying to get back onto the tour. He kind of stepped up and did some things that got him off the tour, and he just can't get his swing back. There are moments in here that are really funny, Mark, but I personally, if you had to compare the two, I was much more a fan of Stick. The supporting character is Fortune Femmeister is here, and I like her a lot in this, but it's got its moments, but other times you just sit there and shake your head and go, I think they missed. It could have been a home run.
So I was a big fan of Stick, which was on Apple TV Plus, Owen Wilson, and that one did get renewed, but they have not announced when that's coming out, you know, for the second season. By the way, Timothy Olyphant was in that, too. He's always one of my favorites. Anything else you want to mention streaming-wise?
Yeah, let's mention quickly Ride or Die, Octavia Spencer, Hannah Winningham, who...
Ted Lasso?
I'm sorry. Yes, from Ted Lasso. Hannah's a hitman. She's an assassin. And Octavia Spencer plays the wife of a prominent British parliamentary figure, shall we say. And, well, things happen, and the assassin finally, the two of those are best friends, but one didn't know the other was an assassin. And, well, one close to government, one's assassinating people. It's kind of odd couple that come together. There's a divorce in the mix and some other stuff. It's a pretty decent show for those of you who like the comedy mixed in as much as everything else with the action adventure. Ride or Die, all those episodes are up on Amazon Prime Video today.
Awesome. That sounds good to me. Look, the box office numbers for Toy Story 5 have continued to grow. I'll be very curious to see what the numbers are for The Odyssey just because it's such a long film, and I wonder about the appeal. I know it had a good start yesterday, though.
Anecdotally, I saw it yesterday, and I saw it with a paying crowd. It was one of the larger paying Thursday afternoon crowds that I can remember in recent past. So if that says anything, and there's big crowds on tap tonight, if you want to see it in a premium format, I would recommend buying your tickets online, doing it early through all their major stations.
By the way, your region and geographically, there might be more people because of the smoke trying to seek refuge in the theaters. So those numbers might be, improved this weekend as well. Paul, tell folks where they can find your reviews.
Simple, commonguy.com.
We'll talk next Friday. Frank Cusimano, sports director, KSDK, with us for his weekly visit. You know, the last couple of nights outside, I went to the soccer game last night, but it's kind of been the dead zone of sports post All-Star game, Frank, hasn't it?
Well, it has been, except for kind of a fascinating round two of the British Open today. And I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, the British Open's been around for about 150, 160 years, and the lowest score ever was a 62. And within 20 minutes today, we had back-to-back 62s
two
by
of them.
Herbert and Burns.
Yeah.
That is freaking crazy.
And the guy at the top of the leaderboard, again, is someone that really not many people know, which is interesting as well. But how can you have now, I'll tell you what, on the other side of the equation, you see Jordan's score? I think he was like plus nine, Frank. He three-putted one from 3 feet away, which I do that all the time, but professional golfers aren't supposed to. But it's an interesting leaderboard. Dan Reardon's going to join us at the end of the show, but there's some names up there that I'm not familiar with. Bryson seemingly still in the mix, but there was an incident with him and a rules official that's been circulating on, you know, X, et cetera, saying the lip readers think he said, I'm not going to play tomorrow, which I thought that was interesting.
Well, he's going to play tomorrow, but he was ticked off on the fifth hole. They claimed he inadvertently gave himself a better lie, and they didn't say a word to him until after the round. So he went from an incredible round where he got up to second place to now dropping back to fifth. But I got a feeling he's going to be right in the thick of things on Saturday and Sunday.
We'll get the leaderboard update from Dan Reardon coming up at 5:50 or so, right before audio cut of the day. So what a thrill with Jordan Walker this week. It was so much fun. The game itself on Tuesday, kind of a dud, but that's okay. But here we go for the second half of the season. The Cardinals sitting in exactly the same spot record-wise, Frank, as they were a year ago. But we all kind of feel like it's different, right? There's a new energy with this team. The offense is exciting, but it's not going to get easier schedule-wise, at least here in the first couple of weeks, and that's where they fell apart last year. I mean, we were all kind of hopeful at this point last year, and things kind of just took a poop, if you will.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment, too. It just feels different than it did last year, even though the record is similar. But I will say this, is right now, all you have to think about is catching the Marlins. That's the team. We're not trying to catch the Dodgers. We're never going to catch the Brewers. Just beat the Marlins. They're one game ahead of you in the standings. And I think that's feasible because, Mark, I really feel good about this starting staff moving forward. Pallante has been, you know, the surprise of the year. Leahy's figured it out. McGreevy has that ERA hovering around 3. Libitor had a great outing, his last outing. I mean, if you get good starting pitching, and we know the first 4 hitters in that Cardinal lineup are really good, I think they got a real shot to win this third wild card spot.
Well, Frank, the bullpen did just take a hit. The Cardinals announcing 2 minutes ago that JoJo Romero is going to the 15-day IL. Appendicitis. This is retroactive to July 14th. Scott Blewett has been selected from the Memphis roster. Joel Pozo designated for assignment. So it'll get I know he hasn't been amazing this year, but that's still a guy they've relied on in a lot of high leverage situations in the seventh and eighth inning. So the Cardinals are going to be without JoJo Romero. That'll be a little bit of a blow.
Yeah. And you know, Ethan, how that hurts you even more is that he may have been your most marketable deal at the deadline because everybody, as we've seen in St. Louis with John Mozeliak, they're all looking for these lefty specialists for the postseason. And you may have gotten, you know, a top 20 prospect for him. So now him coming off an injury, you just have to wonder what that does to his value.
All right, so let's talk about the World Cup. We do have a third-place game tomorrow. I'm not sure how many people are going to be interested in that, but we have Spain and Argentina. Argentina trying to defend their World Cup title. It's been a thrilling tournament. I think the forecast is going to be safe for Sunday. The big issue, Frank, as you know, is the wildfire smoke out in New York. I mean, if they were playing that thing this afternoon, I think they'd have to delay it.
Yeah, you're right. But I did look about an hour ago, and they said it looks like it's going to be fine by the time we get to game time on Sunday. But I'm hearing that the cheapest you can get in is $7,000. And ironically, that's the stadium built by the pride of Viani High School, Mark Lamping, who is actually going to be attending that championship. So I don't know. I don't think Messi has to win it to validate it, because it seems like, you know, almost everybody in the soccer world is basically saying he is the greatest of all time. And like Pele and Maradona, they're not in the conversation as much anymore. But boy, to cap it off, the final World Cup at 39 did kind of cool.
Hey, did you hear the story? I mentioned this a little bit earlier. This is kind of, you know, breaking a little bit this afternoon, that one of the scouting representatives of the Arizona Cardinals got busted in a gambling scheme.
I just saw the headline on ESPN a little bit earlier. Boy, that's crazy.
You also feel like it's the tip of the iceberg on all this stuff. I mean, you got the guy that runs the teleprompter for Trump that gets, you know, taken down because he's betting on Kalshi or the Poly Market or whatever. And every time, look, I'm a fan of wagering, and I supported it here in Missouri. But I hear stories like this, and you just got to feel like there's so much of it going on. Now, having said that, you know, the system is working, apparently, because they rooted this out and they caught this guy.
Yeah, that's one positive from it all, but you're right. I mean, everybody is, a lot of people have connections to sports teams. They may not be directly involved, but the possibility of insider trading is just incredible right now.
Tell me what's coming up on the show on Sunday night.
Well, I just sat down the former heavyweight champion of the world, Larry Holmes. He's in town for a boxing event, and we talked about everything from Muhammad Ali to Jerry Cooney. We'll also have a piece on an analytics coach, as sports continues to specialize, named Jason Fang for St. Louis University. Mark, you could beat him in one-on-one, but his mind is insane. Schertz says he's the smartest guy in the building, and we're going to look at the impact of analytics, and in particular, this 25-year-old from Taiwan.
Awesome. Well, listen, have a great weekend, and we'll talk on Monday afternoon.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Take care. That's Frank Cusumano, sports director at KSDK. I am glad that baseball is going to be back here. But I do want to mention, you know, it was the Pirates and the Guardians, Ethan, that they canceled the game because of all the smoke.
I remember the California wildfires last year in the fall. I remember being at the ballpark and seeing the haze in the sky from it. But this is a whole new level that they're experiencing up there as compared to what we did last year, you know, with the haze. So it's pretty intense right now.
I guess last night the I didn't realize that the Mets and the Phillies played last night.
Yeah, I didn't either until
and
after
they,
the game.
But they moved the start time up because it was the only game on the schedule, you know, post-All-Star break, and they were trying to beat the smoke a little bit. But that's crazy. Like, Fred's son has been sending pictures from New York City. My sister's there right now. I'm glad we're not dealing with that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because some people aren't even able to just step out their door, unfortunately. And we didn't get to it, but, Sporting KC was in town last night against City, and City did win as they took a big break because of the World Cup. I mean, they were off for like 6 weeks, weren't they?
Yeah, it was a nice little stretch, and wisely, because they can't compete. They would have been nowhere near. I mean, they have a tough time competing just with general Americans because it's all on Apple TV, and a lot of people don't have Apple TV. So they got some work to do to try and get that soccer in more homes in the U.S.
All right, we're going to get a British Open update from Dan Reardon in an hour. It is an interesting leaderboard. It really is. And some of the names that are at the bottom that didn't make the cut are also fascinating as usual. Brian Kilmeade will join us. It's kind of a rare appearance for him. He'll talk about the smoke because he's in New York City, and we'll find out what's going on in his world. He's got a show, of course, One Nation, that airs Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Central here in St. Louis. And coming up after traffic and Fox News here at the top of the hour, Bill Eigel. We had Jason Law in a couple of days ago. He's one of the three candidates for St. Charles County Executive. Bill, pretty well known. He ran for governor, pretty popular state senator as well. He's coming in studio. We'll talk about his race for St. Charles County Executive. It's all coming up. Plus, an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.